This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Throughout our lives, we have a lot of challenges that cause us to adjust to the circumstances that consequently come as a result. And like a bouncing ball that bounces back over and over and over again, so life requires us to have a similar resilience to bounce back for another go. Without resilience, our accomplishments would be limited. We would never be able to achieve our maximum capability. Why, consider Thomas Edison. What if he would have given up on his pursuits of experimentation of so many of his projects? Well, most certainly, he would not have been accredited with their inventions. Why, what if the English people would have given up on those soldiers pinned down on the beaches of Dunkirk? Thousands of men would have been killed by the advancing Nazi army. And yes, World War II may very well have turned out quite differently if it weren't for that providential miracle on the beaches of Dunkirk. Yes, resilience. It has a lot to do with our successes in life, and it does us well to understand just how we can gain more of it. So, on today's program, we will be addressing this specific subject, how to grow resilience.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. Thanks for joining us for today's program. What I want to talk about today is resiliency. Now, you may hear that a lot out in the communities today. It's a buzzword that is being used a lot. I've recently heard it when it comes to leadership training. We're talking about being resilient leaders and resilient leadership. But you're also hearing this word being used by psychologists today. And there's been a lot of research conducted on resiliency by psychologists, and we'll be citing some of that today. Now, let's start with just a basic definition of what we mean by resiliency. Resiliency is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. A synonym for resiliency would be toughness. It's the ability of a substance to bounce back or spring back once it's been pulled a little bit or stressed a little bit. If you think of a rubber band or a gum band that we pull apart and then release, it comes back to its original state. And when we think about resiliency in human beings, we want to think about human beings being stressed and then being able to overcome that stress and reach an equilibrium-like state. So we're going to look at this particular word today, and I like to think about the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche when I think about resiliency, because he had a famous statement, and the statement went, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." And that's an important statement when you think about resiliency, because it's true that if we were stressed every moment of every day, it would kill us. And what he was saying was some stress at some times, when you go through it, it can make you stronger, it can make you better than you were before you experienced that stress. Now, there have been some famous people, very successful people in the public eye today who have suffered from various forms of stress in their lives. I'm thinking of Oprah Winfrey for one. Oprah had to endure a lot of sexual abuse as a child. But through those experiences, she overcame and became stronger and became one of the most successful people in society today. When we think about LeBron James in fourth grade, he had to move 12 times. He missed 100 days of school during that fourth grade year. But it was also something that he got through, and we know the rest of the story when it comes to LeBron James. Diana Nyad was a very famous long-distance swimmer. She was so good as a long-distance swimmer that she set records for both men and women. But she was sexually abused during her teenage years by her swimming coach. A lot of her strength comes from overcoming that abuse. And finally, I'll mention Howard Schultz, who was the former chief executive officer of Starbucks Coffee. Schultz grew up in New York housing, subsidized housing, and he was able to rise above that situation to become the leader of a company that is a multi-billion dollar corporation. The Bible also teaches about resiliency. It's an important topic within the Bible. The Bible says that we're going to suffer in life, but through those sufferings, we will become better character-wise. So we're going to look at what some of the psychologists say about resiliency and what the Bible says. But before I do that, what I'd like to do is offer you some free items on today's program. We're going to offer you the full-length sermon CD, which will address a lot more information than I'll be able to give you in today's program. Please order Resiliency by Mike James. We also want you to get the free booklet. It's titled Comforter, Helper, Counselor. Many are the gifts of God, but none is greater than the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a comforter, helper, and counselor for those committed to Jesus Christ. Christianity teaches that God will help us get through this life. And one way to be resilient is to get the Holy Spirit in your life. Please get both of these items free of charge. All you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can visit our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back. Again, we're talking about resiliency on today's program, and we gave you a definition for that term at the top of today's program. What I'd like to do right now is I'd like to talk a little bit about a book that was written by a psychologist, and this book was written in 1962 by the psychologist named Victor Goetzel. Goetzel wrote this book with his wife Mildred, and the title of the book was Cradles of Imminence, a provocative study of over 400 famous 20th century men and women. Now that's a mouthful of a title, but in this book, and for someone to get in this book, the Goetzels made sure that there were at least two biographies that had been written about these 400 famous people of the 20th century. Now, some of the people that are written about in the book include individuals like John D. Rockefeller, Eleanor Roosevelt, Henry Ford, Marie Curie, and Louis Armstrong. So we're talking about famous, successful people. And in the research, what they found, of these 400 people, only 15% of them were brought up in a stable two-parent type of a home. Another 75% of them grew up in a home where there was some major problem within the home as they were growing up. Problems like alcoholism, problems like physical or sexual abuse, problems like a severe sickness within the family, or some calamity or misfortune that befell that particular family. Poverty was another issue for some of these successful people. But what we learned was that through these difficulties, they were able to rise above it and lead very successful lives. Now, that's interesting because the Bible talks a lot about the fact that there is going to be suffering in your life if you're dedicating your life to Jesus Christ. One of the most famous scriptures that alludes to this is over in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed." So you see, the Bible is very clear on the fact that by going through things, by suffering things, you build your character, you become a better person. Now, another scripture that alludes to this also is found in the book of James. So I want to read that before I get back to a little more of the psychological research that's been conducted on resiliency. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," in the King James, but what the word actually means is trials. "So count it all joy when you fall into trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So once again, the message is clear. You got to go through stuff to get stuff, to make yourself better, to make yourself stronger. And numerous studies by psychologists have proven this point over and over and over. Now, we have mentioned the fact that when you go through things, the Bible makes it clear that that gives you more hope that you will be able to go through more things in the future. And I want to relate some of that to you that was conducted in a study. And this study was written up in a 2010 paper in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology. Now, the person who did this study was Anka Ehlers from the University of Oxford. And what Ehlers was doing was she was looking at 81 political prisoners who had lived in East Germany. And what she found with these political prisoners was that they all suffered mental and physical abuse. Some of them suffered beatings. Some of them suffered threats. Some of them were kept in the dark for long periods of time. And after going through all of this, she found that 2/3 of them ended up suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, 1/3 of these individuals did not suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, and she wanted to find out what was the difference. What was the difference between those suffering PTSD and those who did not? Now, this is an interesting question because right now we've got a lot of people returning from the war zones in Afghanistan and in Iraq within the United States, and a lot of these soldiers do end up suffering from PTSD. And here's what Ehlers found when she interviewed these individuals. She found that those who in their mind did not lose hope, those who in their mind stayed determined, those who in their mind were saying, "I'm not going to give up no matter what these people do to me," those were the folks that predominantly did not suffer from PTSD. Now, again, there may be other reasons why certain people get PTSD, but at least in this study of 81 people, those who were locked in their mind that they were going to continue to hope, regardless of the control that they did not have over their lives, they still controlled what they were thinking. And that is a big deal when it comes to resiliency. What you believe in your mind, what you think in your mind. Now, the thing about Christianity is, Christianity can enhance your resiliency, and I'm going to explain how that's possible. To do that, I'm going to turn in my Bible to John chapter 14 and verse 16. So again, a lot of this has to do with your attitude, your mindset, how resilient you are. And in John 14, 16, notice what Jesus said before he left this earth. John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now, I want you to get what it's saying here. When Christ left this earth, he told his followers that if you get baptized and you follow me, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he's saying that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. It will be in you. It will stay with you. And if you've got that as a Christian, that connects with your spirit in your consciousness, within your mind, and makes you that much more resilient than the average person. Now, let me address that is truly what happens. And I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to show you how that spirit gets together with your mind, and the two of those things working in concert really build up your resiliency. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading here in verse 10. "For God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So when God's Spirit connects with the Spirit in your mind, you have a greater understanding of God and what He's doing, and that will give you sustaining hope through whatever you're going to go through. Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So that Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God, can help teach your mind things, resilient things, things to overcome the suffering that will come in life. Verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man is your carnal nature. Verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Now get this final verse, verse 16. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." When the Holy Spirit gets together with your spirit in your mind, that Holy Spirit is the very mind of Christ. And we know how much of an overcomer Christ was in this world. We know the sufferings he went through in this life and overcame. He lived a sinless life so we can have eternal life. And if we've got his mind in us through his Holy Spirit, we've got that much more power to be resilient with whatever stressors might impact us in life. One other example, like Christ, was the Apostle Paul. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. Listen to some of the stressors that Paul went through. "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Now that's a lot of perils, folks. I doubt that any of us are going to go through the stressors that Paul experienced in his life. But the reason he was able to overcome, the reason he got through all this stuff, was he had God's Holy Spirit connecting with his mind, which allowed him to have the resiliency to overcome all of these obstacles that came into his life. There are many other scriptures that address this. I'll take a look at another one over in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we read the following: I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, why are they making a statement like that? What does it mean that Christ is strengthening you? How does that happen? Again, it happens through the Holy Spirit of God being in you, connecting with your spirit in your mind and allowing you to have that resiliency to get through whatever it is you're trying to get through. But you can't get that Holy Spirit unless you repent and are baptized and begin to go the way of God. That is the program you need to follow to get access to God's Holy Spirit. Another example is over in the book of Ephesians, and I want to mention this one because of the title of our program, The Armor of God. We like to remind ourselves that we are fighting spiritual battles here. These are mind battles that we are waging with spiritual forces. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He tries to get at us through thoughts, through our mind, through our thinking, and we can fight against him with the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So read this metaphor here of putting on this armor to fight, and watch what it says towards the end. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And now get this: "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So it ends after talking about putting on all this armor and how you can arm yourself, that at the end, you've got to pray to the Spirit that is within you. That's the final key to fighting against Satan and the wiles of the devil. Now, one other scripture I'd like to turn to before we start to close things out today is in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to turn over there and take a look at this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'll pick it up there in verse 16. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit." So again, once we've got that Spirit in us, we don't want to quench that Spirit. We want to enhance that Spirit. We want that Spirit to come alive in us, because that is the resiliency we will need to overcome all of the things that need to be overcome in this life. Now, I want to just finish out with a couple things that the psychologist named Meg J, mentioned in an article she wrote in the Wall Street Journal in November of 2017. And what Jay said was that to be resilient, you also have to take on projects that give you a little bit of stress, because by learning a new instrument or taking a college course or studying a new language or taking judo lessons, you are stressed a little bit over time, but you know when that stress is coming. And doing things like that can help build up your resiliency and make you a stronger person. Now, the Bible teaches that very same thing. The Bible says to attend regular services. The Bible says to also read the Bible regularly. It talks about praying without ceasing and Bible study. And when we do these types of things, it is a little stress upon us to continually do them, but it will help us in the long run if we do stress our system a little bit and then recover. The other life stressors that we aren't expecting will be easier to handle. One other point that is made by the psychologist Meg Jay is that you've got to have a support network of some sort. That will help build your resilience. Going to friends, going to family members that you can talk to can help you with your resiliency. And that is true when we look at the Bible and the message that it provides, that we want to have people within our church family that we can go to, that we can vent to, that we can talk to about our problems, about our issues, to get advice from them. If you don't have people that you can go to when you've got problems, that is going to diminish your resiliency a little bit. That is going to stress you out a little bit more. So make sure you have a support network around you that can help you build that resiliency instead of diminish that resiliency. One other thing that I'd like to say about resiliency is you can work at it. You can make it stronger within you. It's not something that you either have or you don't have. It's something that can be worked on and that can be increased in your life. All you need to do is continually study your Bible, learn what the Bible is talking about, and also keep your mind sharp. Keep your mind focused on what you are working on in life rather than letting yourself go down rabbit holes or not know what you want in life. Now, again, I want you to get that free literature and that free CD that I talked about earlier. Get that CD titled Resiliency and also get that booklet called Comforter, Helper, Counselor. Both of these items will help you build your resiliency. Having the Holy Spirit infused into your life will, again, build your resiliency, help you become a stronger Christian, and deal with all the sufferings and things of that nature in life. Please call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. Go to our website, www.cgi.org. Thank you, and so long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.